Now we're ready to rock here. So the real exam is supposed to be very similar to the mock exam. Is that all right? And I've gone through and checked it. So question one is a trading profit and loss account balance sheet. Okay, I can tell you that categorically. Of course, the numbers will be different. Everything else is going to be the same. So in terms of, you will be given a trial balance, you will be given half a dozen adjustments, and you'll be asked to produce a trading profit and loss and balance sheet. Sorry, schedule adjustments, trading profit and loss and balance sheet. Okay? So that is question one. And that is 50 out of 140. So work that out. Bump. 50 divided by 140. So 35. So that question alone is near enough to get in the pass. For those of you who are worried about the pass. Is that okay? So that's that. So a couple of things that I have done. Maybe I could have emailed this, and maybe I still can. And you've had lots of practice at this. Now, I can't remember who got on to be looking for more. Someone got more. You did, yeah. Thanks for that. Just wasted the whole afternoon on me. that's how I get my practice. So that's fine. What I've done is, I gave you three sample P&L accounts. Yeah. I did three more. And did you try them? Are they right? They work.
One of them, I think I was out by about 35 grand.
But you were, or I was?
I was.
Okay. Well, now I'm not 100% either. So
I'll
okay.
Yeah,
do. Yeah, because I don't get all the solutions to that yet. And it sounds simple to produce one of these things. It's not, you know. So if you want to practice, I have three more trial balances. So I can get that to you. So I just do that as a matter of form. So as a follow-up from today, I would just send you out for three. Is that okay? And just to warn you, I don't have the solutions yet. You're two of them done, so you can send them to me. And I'll tell you how you're out on the 35 grand. That's just saving you those 2 hours. Okay, so what I've done here as well, just for your own benefit, just if you take one and pass them on. Just take one and pass them on. If we go to part two, what I've given you here is the format. The important part about a P&L account is the format that you put it in. And if you get the numbers in the right place, you get a mark for every number you get in the right place. Is that okay?
This is amazing.
So is that simple?
Really amazing.
So what I've done is, so this is how... This is the formula. Now, you can't bring this to the exam. You can bring it in the morning. So that is how it has to look. Is that all right? So when we're doing your P&L account, so that's your P&L account, that's your balance sheet, and your P&L account is your sales, opening stock plus closing stock, opening stock plus purchases less closing stock. That gives you your cost of sales. Your cost of sales from your profit, or from your sales, gives you your gross profit. Subtract all your expenses, and you get your net profit, interest and tax, if there is any, which is fair enough. The other thing, and I noticed, what was it in the mock exam? One thing that I didn't like when I was going through it again, because I keep looking at it and revising it. I'm going to get rid of all VAT references, because that just kind of confuses people. That's more. Is that okay? So I make sure that there's no, because do you add it, subtract it, or whatever? And again, on the basis you're not accountants, so I'll make sure the exam has no references to VAT or any of that nonsense. And like we know, even though VAT is not in the, if we look at the sales figure in our trial balance, that does not include VAT. The debtors obviously will always include that, and we have to collect the VAT. So let's not get hung up on it. So that is your P&L account. So the first part tells you whether you made a profit or loss. And then the balance sheet tells you is a list of what you own and what you owe, your fixed assets, your current liabilities, your long-term liabilities, and then that is financed by your capital. So I go through the example for the mock exam now in that format, but that's your format. And if you get that right, you're halfway there. Is that all right? So that's that. So the first job is to review up a schedule of adjustments. Now, look, and I think we covered this the last day when we're in the furlough. Look, you don't have to get into debits and credits and all that good stuff. Is that okay? So if we look at the mock exam, let's just have a look at this. So the first thing, so why do I do a schedule of adjustments? Okay, so let me explain this to you, and I have before, but I do it again. P&L accounts. I think I told you, the P&L account is a profit and loss within a period of time. Is that okay? It's normally from the 1st of January to the 31st of December. So what I have to do is, in producing a profit and loss account, I want to see, did I make a profit or a loss on all the transactions that happened within that period? Okay? So it's a finite period. Okay? So that's fair enough. So I want to know, did I make a profit in this period? That's what I need to know. If I wrote the insurance company a check for 20 grand on the 30th of June for my insurance for the year, yeah? That will appear in my trial balance because I got a bill for 20 grand for insurance and I paid the 20 grand for insurance. So when I get my trial balance out, there will be a charge of 20 grand, yeah? And that's a given, that's part of the accounting. And that's fine. The thing about it is, because I paid a year's insurance on the 30th of June, that will cover till June next year. You understand? So even though I paid out the 20 grand now, not all of that 20 grand relates to the current period that I'm concerned with. Yeah? So on that basis, I've paid 20 grand out, that's in my trial balance. I need to adjust that figure because it covers part of next year. So 10,000 is this year's expenses, yeah? And 10,000 is a prepayment into next year, yeah? So it's to get my current figures right. So if you understand the logic of what we're doing and why we're doing it, that should make the adjustments easier. Did you get that? So you adjust your accounts so you get a clear picture for that period that we're looking at, which is to the year end. So that's the basis behind it. So if we look at our schedule of adjustments, the adjustments that we do, depreciation, because obviously, you know, we just do our depreciation at the end of the year. So we have our, so in the trial balance, we have all the depreciation that we've depreciated up to now. Now we've come to a year end, we have to calculate the depreciation for the current year. Is that okay? So that's that. So I'm just adjusting. So if I look at this, depreciation will be provided on motor vehicles, and it says 20% of cost. So that's fair enough. So we go to motor vehicles, and we see that they cost 43,500. Yeah? So that's grand. And we also see that in my trial balance, I have cumulative depreciation. So cumulative depreciation motor vehicles is 26,100. Yeah? Okay. Now I have to adjust it at 20% of cost, which is 8,700. Yeah? So now my new adjusted depreciation figure is 34,800. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's what I had in my trial balance. That is the adjustment, says I need to increase it by 20% of cost. And then this is the adjusted figure that we put into the balance sheet when we... Now, you don't have to do an adjusted P&L account. You want the time in the exam to do that. Is that okay? And if you want, when you're going through it, when you have your trial balance here, if you want to cross out the depreciation figure for motor vehicles, cross off the 26,100 and write in 34,000. You know, just for clarity for yourself. Are you with me? So even though this is in your trial balance, this is what has to go into your balance sheet, the adjusted figure. Is that okay? And so we're going to increase our depreciation in our balance sheet, and that 8,700 goes into my expenses. So all my adjustments go in twice. They go into the P&L account, and they go into the balance sheet. Is that okay? So if you're out, it's usually you've adjusted one and you've adjusted somewhere else. So all your adjustments have to go in twice. Is that okay?
Just on the schedule adjustments, do you have to do an actual schedule? So we do over the 4 years?
No. No, it's just how much do we have to adjust the figures by to produce our P&L account? So literally, on cumulative depreciation of motor vehicles, that is the... So if we look at, that's the trial balance, if you know what I mean. This is the adjustment, and this is the new balance. And literally one line is all you need. That's all you need to calculate what is the new figure. And again, I know in the notes we get into debits and credits and pluses and minuses. If you understand the logic of it, in depreciation, that's going to increase that. If it's like a prepayment, it might reduce the surplus or whatever the case may be. So just as long as you just don't, I don't want you to get into debits and credits and all that sort of stuff. So what is the adjusted figure? Yeah? And in some cases where you have an example like provision for bad debts is to be adjusted to 1.5% of debtors. So I've done motor vehicles. Let's just go through this. So the next thing on the adjustments is depreciation on office equipment. Yeah?
Yeah.
So the figure was 26,400. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's my adjustment is 13,200. So now my new depreciation figure is 39,600. Yeah, simple. Loan interest paid. So what does it tell me about loan interest paid? Interest payable on the loan for the last quarter of 5,270 to be accrued. So if it's to be accrued, look, I know I have a charge that relates to this year. I haven't got the bill yet. So if I haven't got the bill, I know the bill is coming. So it's right that I do include it. So how much loan did I pay? Loan interest paid in my trial balance is 15,800. So that's how much I actually paid. But I know that there's a bill coming for 5,270. So the interest now that I need to show in my accounts for the year is 21,070. Yeah? So that's my adjusted figure for my loan. So that's my accruals, which is fine. A new insurance policy is paid for 12 months in advance in June, total cost of $8,000, and is included in my rents, rates, and insurance. So rents, rates, and insurance is 21,500. That includes 4,000 that relates to next year. So the correct charge for this year for rent, rates, and insurance is 17,500. Yeah?
Yeah. So you guys, if you don't read the question properly, put in 8,000 as your accrual there, because I didn't read the question properly when I was doing this.
So if you don't read the question properly, okay, so that's fair enough. So what will happen there? Now the gas thing about it is, and this is to avoid complacency, your balance sheet will still balance and everything else, because what you will do is you will put your $8,000 into your expenses, and you put your $8,000 into your accruals, so it will still balance even though you're wrong. But look, you'll drop one mark for getting that figure wrong. Are you with me? So it's not going to be catastrophic. Is that okay? So yes, of course you might drop a couple of marks, you know, because but that's fair enough. But yeah, read the question. So now there's two different prepositions to worry about. So on the provision for bad debt to be adjusted, the next word is the key word. If it's to be adjusted to 1.5% of debtors, then we get 1.5% of debtors. That's my adjusted balance, because that's what it has to be adjusted to. If the word is by, it has to be adjusted by 1%. Then the 1% becomes my adjustment. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm. No.
No, you've not. No, it's one or the other. It's either it's to be adjusted to or by.
Yeah, but I mean, do the example of.
Oh, the example, same way. Yeah. 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 But in all these, in these ones here, right? I started with my trial balance. I worked out my adjustment to work out my adjusted figure. For my bad debts, right? So this is just slightly different, because it says the provision for bad debts is to be adjusted to 1.5% of debtors. So I know what my debtors is, and I know what 1.5% of my debtors is. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So I know now that 1.5% of my debtors is 7127. Yeah? I know that my current, so this is my provision. I know my current provision is 5,500. So this way I work back to my adjustment. This is what it needs to be, this is what it is. So 1627 is my adjustment.
Yeah, but what I'm saying now, if it was by instead of two, how would you?
So if I said it's to be adjusted by 1%, yeah. Then you would just get 1% of your, say I said it was to be increased by 1%.
Yeah.
Then you would get your bad debt provision, add 1% of that. That is your adjustment, and then add your adjustment to your to get your new.
Okay, figure. So if it's by is in the middle column, if it's two is in the last column.
Yeah. And look, can I tell you? No, hold on, let's not get confused on details, right? It will be two. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
so. It will be two. So. So now that's your scheduling adjustments. Yeah. So that's fair enough. The P&L account is just doing the P&L account. So I'm not going to waste time here doing that. So you just do your P&L account. For those of you who have done it. Those of you who have done it, do you have it there?
Yeah.
So for those of you who have done it, your gross profit figure should be 716,753.
Yeah.
716,753.
Yeah.
Yeah, so brilliant. So that is your gross profit figure. Your net profit figure is 191,726. Your net profit. Your operating profit. So once you subtract your expenses, 191,726. Okay, if I heard some whats, and I'm not going to identify them for fear of embarrassing them. Right, so we all agree on gross profit 716,753, yes? Okay, so let me just go through the expenses then. The expenses, wages, salaries, 356,340. Admin expenses, 78,560. Distribution and transport costs, 49,550. So they're all straight from the, it's fine. Insurance, 17,500. It's the adjusted figure that you put in. Is that okay? Depreciation charge for this period, 21,900, which is your 8,700 plus your 13,200. So that is 21,900. That is the expense for this year. And your increase in your bad debt provision is 1,627.
Yeah.
So that's the expense that relates to this year. Yes?
What's the total value then?
So your total expenses is 525,477. Which gives you the net profit of 191,276.
Right.
Okay, no, that's the next line. So, so that's your. Yeah. No. Yeah, we'll do that next. So, so we get our net profit from, by subtracting our expenses from our gross profit. That's right. So then your next line is interest. So your interest paid then is 21,070, so that's your adjusted figure here, which brings your retained earnings down to 170,206. Yeah. So, but if you show your, you know, interest in expenses,
I normally
interest
is at the end.
Is that the end? So your profit figure, then your interest, the tax, and all that afterwards. And then that 171, that's your figure there. Is that okay? And then the balance sheet, again, we bring our adjustments into the balance sheet. So if you have your balance sheet there as well, I'll just go through the numbers quickly, would you? And just say yes or no. And please say no, because look, it's far better to, you know, I don't want people being embarrassed going, geez, I don't know where he got that figure from and I'm afraid to look stupid. You're far better asking the question. Two reasons. Number one, you will not look stupid because we're here to learn. Number two, if you don't know what the person sitting beside you probably doesn't and they're afraid to ask. And I prefer you to say, don't get that. And then to explain it, than to pretend you know it and then not get it in the exam. Are you with me? So, the fixed asset figure is 531,100. So some did, some didn't. Okay, so for those of you who didn't get it, very simple. Your buildings are straight out of your P&L account, 430,000. Your motor vehicles, now there's three things within the motor vehicles. There's what they cost, what you depreciate them, and the value at this moment in time, yeah? So your motor vehicles cost 43,500. You have to depreciate them by 34,800, which is the adjusted figure here. Did I do that right? Yeah. 34,800, which means the value of your motor vehicles is now 8,700. Your fixtures and fittings cost you 132,000. Your adjusted accumulative depreciation is 39,600. So it means your fixtures and fittings are now worth 92,400.
Yeah.
So that's
Lavoie. No, it's just that I had the mortgage.
No, the mortgage, no. No, you see, credit controllers are great. What's wrong with credit controllers are, we are too intelligent for this, okay? And anybody that has struggled with accounting is because you are too intelligent. So you now know there's a mortgage on the premises. But the mortgage is the mortgage, the premises is the premises. Right? So it's all about, like, just think, lads, accountants do this. It has to be simple. All right? And they only think one step at a time. So your assets are your premises, which is the value there. The mortgage is a long-term loan, which goes down at the bottom in terms of your long-term liabilities. Now, you and I both know that the mortgage relates to the premises.
I did on the fixed assets and then I put on the liability as well.
So, no, your fixed assets are your fixed assets. So just keep everything in its own box. That's your fixed assets. There they are. Your current assets are your current assets. Your current liabilities are what you have to pay within the year. And then your long-term liabilities are at the end.
So,
okay.
Total of fixed assets again?
Total of fixed assets, 531,100. Yeah?
100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Well, have you got that then?
Yes. By using
simple logic. Mm-hmm. We get to the mortgage when we get to the mortgage. Mm-hmm. All we're looking at is fixed assets. Okay? So let's look at one thing, fixed assets. There's three fixed assets. That's what they cost us. That's what we appreciated. That's now what they're worth. That's the balance in the balance sheet. That's how much my fixed assets are worth. Yeah? So that's that. Current assets. The figure I have for current assets in total is 630359. So the bright ones have got that, because that has everything. Okay, so let me just give you a breakdown of the four numbers. The stock figure, and just remember, the stock figure is always the closing stock, because it's a balance sheet as of the 31st of December this year. So it's the closing stock is your adjusted. So your stock is 150,500. Your debtors are, now did I adjust them? Just hold on. Wait. Yeah, your debtors, I was just putting, now whether you do this one figure or two figures, it doesn't matter. The net debtors figure I have is 468,007, which is the debtors less the bad debt provision.
Can you repeat just the number? Is it
468,007.
Yeah.
Can you put the bad debt provision on a separate line?
Yes, you can. And it's probably clearer for you to do that, to be honest with you. So our debtors are 475,120 minus provisions are here 7127. Yeah. Is that okay? Your bank is 7852. And your prepayments are 4,000. So the £4,000 you paid for your insurance this year that relates to next year is an asset in your balance sheet, because it's money you would have if you hadn't paid it. Is that okay? Prepayment, 4,000.
4,000 because of the
insurance. Because of the insurance.
Yeah.
So I paid £8,000 in the year, 4,000 of that relates to this year, which is an expense for this year, and 4,000 relates to next year, which is a prepayment, which is now an asset in the business. It's money that I've paid out that I didn't have. Is that okay?
Can you repeat the total again, please?
So the total number for current assets is 630,359.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then we move into our current liabilities. And current liabilities is the amount that we have to pay out within the year. So our creditors are in there. We just lift that figure straight away. 330,208. Our accruals, 5270. So that's my loan interest that I know there's a bill coming for that I haven't got yet. So because I've put it into my expenses, I have to put it as an accrual in my current liabilities, because it's a bill that I will have to pay. VAT payable. Now, again, you see, your credit controllers, oh, VAT is a tax and tax comes after. No. If it's VAT payable, it's a bill, it's a creditor. Is that okay? So let's not worry about... So if there's tax payable or VAT payable, it's a bill, it's a creditor, it's a current liability. Okay? And then the only other confusing, or it may confuse you here as well, is I told you in the... on the P&L that there's 10 years left on the mortgage, didn't I?
Yeah.
So... where is that gone? So I've lost it. Loan space, capital, that. Where is this gone? Term loan. Yeah, so 301. Did I tell you? Yeah. So it's 301,000 is a term loan with 10 years left. So that's 301. Now, if you put the 301 into your long-term liabilities, you'll get... No, you won't get anything for that. You'll get it to balance, which is probably good. So just think about that. So I've 301,000 on a 10-year loan. So for that 10-year loan, I have to pay back 30,100 this year.
Yeah.
So your 30,100 becomes a current liability, and then the balance of your 270,900 is a long-term liability paid in future years. So you just split that number just, and it'll always be divided by 10. I'm not going to get you to do sums on that one. So if there's a 10-year loan outstanding, I have to pay this year, and current is at some paid within a year. So I put in a tenth of it into this year, and then the rest of it then is a long-term liability.
So you put the balance then into the long-term?
Long-term liabilities, yeah. So yeah, because it'd be wrong. You see, if we're working out current ratios, which we're going to get to in a minute, if you put in the whole loan there, it would distort your liquidity. So you still have to put in 1 year because you have to do that. Yeah?
So the current liabilities, what was the total of the current liabilities?
The total of the current liabilities is 449,653. 449,653. Yeah?
449,653.
Yeah. So my net current assets, I subtract my current liabilities from my current assets, I get 180,706. And then I add that figure to the value of my fixed assets and subtract my long-term liability, and my total net assets, or net worth of the business, is 440,906. 440,906.
Do you have a solution that you can send out afterwards, or
total
yeah,
net assets?
Yeah. Would it help, would it?
Yeah, it
should. Very much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll do that. Now the only thing is, what? Yeah. If I am going to send you out the solution, the one thing you need to know is that some of the solutions I prepared last year. So it may have 2013 instead of 2015. Do you know what I mean? Now, look, if I'm sending it out to you, I'll go through the numbers and update them. I'm afraid if I miss one, I'll confuse you more. So if there is a wrong year, it's just Deck has missed that one. Is that okay? So just to forewarn you about that. Because when you're looking at questions, solutions, and updating 1 year to the next, you wouldn't believe how complicated it is. It sounds simple. Is that okay? So anyways, yes, I will send you a solution to this. So that's fair enough. Just watch the years and don't let it upset you. So our total assets are that. And then, so I have my total assets are 449,006, and that is financed by my capital is 5 grand, which is in the P&L account. My retained profits, 265,700, is in the trial balance. And then you add the profit for this year, which is your 170,206, which is after your interest paid and everything else. Is that okay? And so on the page and in the format, I want to see the two numbers. Even if they don't balance, I don't care. Is that okay? Show the two numbers. Okay? So this is, some people skip over that bit. Just do it. Just, this is the total of the assets less the liabilities, bump, financed by capital, retained profits, this year's profits, bump, and then leave it. If it doesn't, if your 40 minutes are up and it doesn't balance, boo-hoo. If you've got the right format, the right numbers, you'll get marks for everything that you have right. If it doesn't balance, you've done one or two stupid things. Is that okay? And will I tell you now what stupid things you've done? And I think I told you this the last day in the Borough, but not everybody was there. Right. So, I end up with my balance sheet. That's dead. So I have my total assets are 745, financed by blah blah blah, 620. Okay, so I've done my sums. So that is capital, retained earnings, and this year. Yeah. So it doesn't balance. Right. Boo hoo. If my 40 minutes are up, I keep going on to the next question. If I have a couple of minutes to go playing with it, then fair enough. So the first thing I will do is simply subtract the two numbers. So my difference there, let's say 740, keep it simple. So 740 is my difference. So my difference is 120. Right? So what I will do is, did I leave out a figure altogether out of the trial balance? Yeah, did I leave something out completely? So whatever your difference is, glance down through your trial balance to see if that number is there. And you're, yeah, look, there's wages. I never put bloody wages in. Yeah? And now, and if you want, you know, you can, now what I would advise you to do, if you want, is get a highlight marker, rather than tick and then having 100 ticks on it. So as you write the numbers from the trial balance down, just highlight it on your trial balance. So that way you can see clearly, ah look, I never put that one in. Is that okay? So that's number one. So I looked at my trial balance, see, is there a figure of 120? Yes, there is. Ah, yeah, that's it. Okay, if there isn't a figure of 120 in the trial balance, my next thing is I divide it by 2. Right? So now I go looking for 60. Did I add my closing stock instead of subtracting it? Yeah? So if I added something instead of subtracting it, then my difference would be doubled. So if my difference is 120, look, sure, I subtracted my closing stock for 60 grand. So either the full figure, I've left something out. If divided by 2, I've added something where I should have subtracted it. Yeah? If the difference, and this is the final one, hopefully this will help you with reconciliations forevermore. If your balance there is 740 and your balance here is 758, yeah? So when I look at my difference is 18. In fact, if my difference is any number that can be divided by 9, yeah? So I look at my difference is 18. If it's, and there is no 18 there, and there's no 9 there, what you've more than likely done is you have put in 76 instead of 67. You've transposed the number. So if your difference can be divided by 9, you've just taken a 456 and put it in as 465. And that will always be 9. If you... Yeah?
Yeah.
That has saved me hours of reconciliations because it helps. And the fact that I know this means I've had to use it in the past. So if you divide the difference by 9, you just transpose the number. And you'll know exactly. So if you're out by 9, you put in 12 instead of 21. Yeah? Or you put in 34 instead of 43. If you're out by 18, it means you put in 24 instead of 42. You know, the numbers are 2 apart. So anyway, I won't get into that.
Are you
doing
your P&L then in pencil?
No. Now, if you want to use a pencil, use a pencil. You know, as long as it's legible, that's fine. If you do have a wrong number, so you have, say for example, and. Yeah, so say if you have stock of 456 and you go, oh my god, that should be 465. You know, like either cross it out and put in 465. If you want, I'm not a fan of Tippex, to be honest with you. I never was. So maybe cross it off or whatever and just write it. But changing it here and, it just makes a mess. Well, just as long as you're clear what the number is. But just to let you know as well that when correcting the P&L account, there's sort of 4 different stages you look at. Number one, obviously, if you get the right number at the bottom and they both balance, then okay, that's, and then everything is in the right order, then that's fair enough. If that number's out, so we go through, you get so many marks for your gross profit, so many for your net profit, so many for your current assets, current liabilities. So if you get one wrong in there, you'll drop a couple of marks, but it won't be enough to fail the exam. Yeah? And if you do something stupid and put in the trial balance figure instead of the adjusted figure, you know, yes, you'll drop a few marks, but nothing fatal. Is that okay? So, look, practice on that. I'll send you the solutions to this one. Make sure you understand where that's coming from. I'll send you three more ones to practice on over the next couple of weeks. And once you get it, it's there forever. Okay? And there's no curveballs in it or whatever. So that's that. Now, question number two, and to me, in a way, this is a bigger one, and my time is management has gone out the bloody window. How this is going to work? How this is going to work is question two is your. It's based on assignment two, yeah. So what you will be given is, you will be given. So I think in the mock exam where you're given three companies, you'll be given one company for 3 years. It's the same thing. It's three sets of information. Is that okay? And you will be asked to comment on which was the best year. Yeah, no, the mock exam was one company for 3 years. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's exactly the same in the exam. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And again, so what you'll be asked to, you'll be given three sets of figures, six ratios, so again, you pick the six ratios.
Would you give us which is the best then?
For definitely. Yeah, and I think this is important as well. To me, the important ratios, current ratio, and quick ratio, they're the two most important. Okay? So.
And are they based on liquidity?
They're based on what?
Are they liquidity?
We are credit guys, right? We care about their ability to pay. So to me, as a credit controller, I don't care what return. You see, accountants are worried about return on capital employed. I don't care what return they're getting on capital employed. That's their business. Do you understand? I care, can they pay me next month? Have they the wherewithal to pay me? So from a credit perspective, we have a different view of the world. So to me, solvency is the most important. So if I was to pick six ratios, I would pick current ratio, quick ratio, and maybe net profit percent. So let me just do this. One, two, net profit percent is a good one. And then why not, you know, stock debtors and creditor days? You know, something that. Now look, that doesn't mean you won't get marks if you do a gross profit percentage. You know, but to me, they're the most important. That tells me how solvent the company is, how profitable it is, and how well run it is. That tells me everything I need to know about a business.
And therefore, the gross profit, the net profit.
Well, yeah, I do
and
one or the other.
Say they mean profitability.
Yeah, markup is a bit tricky. So
the other question that it says, give one for me to profitability.
All right, yeah.
And then what are management ones?
Yeah, well, the management ones, profitability is your gross profit and net profit. Management is your stock days, debtor days, and creditor days. So that's how well managed the business is. How quickly are they getting paid? How quickly are they doing everything? Is that okay?
So given the ratios, like
you are given a page with the ratios as you were given in the month. So for that page will be. That will be on the back of the exam, so you don't have to remember. So okay, so you will be given that. That's fair enough. Now, so a comment on the six ratios. So again, look, it's not. I don't want to write a book. I want you to show. Look, I understand the current ratio is falling. Therefore, their cash is coming under pressure. Their current ratio is increasing, therefore they're better able to pay their bills. I want you to understand that you know what this means. You know, so your comment is literally a line or two just to show you understand what the ratio is. And then the subjective bit, which is to assign a line of credit or whatever, that she would be happy. Now, so whilst I've read the notes, I know from the assignment the way most people did it, was they took the working capital, which is your current assets minus current liabilities, minus stock, to see how much real tangible assets do they have in the business. And then if it's a high risk, you give up to 10% of it. Medium risk, I think it was 15, and low risk is about 30, isn't it? Somewhere there it is. Now, they're not written in stone. They're thereabouts. So again, it's back to your logic. If you're happy to say, well, look, it's up to 10%, I wouldn't give them tuppence, you know, because...
But that's fair enough. If you change the percentage, would you change the number? Again, you have to explain.
Just explain, yeah. And say, well, look, yeah. I work in a very high margin business, and we're happy to give 40% to low risk customers. So and if you say that...
What's the formula you gave me?
The formula I don't know if it's a formula or a recommendation.
Less current liabilities, that's the ones in the...
Yes, so current assets, less stock, less current liabilities. So that is your kind of, your working worth, if you like. And then whatever that number is, if they're low risk, I'll give them 30% of it. Medium risk, I'll give them, is it 20%, I think? I can't remember what I said in the notes. I think it's 20. And then high risk, up to 10. And maybe if it's too high risk, I might give them anything. Yeah. If you're looking at five companies, because the actual scoring model, and sorry, I want to spend a few minutes on the scoring model as well. So if for example, we have, say five companies to compare, and this ends up with a score of 6, this ends up with a score of 8, this ends up with a score of 14, 27, and 42, or whatever it is to be. So when I do the scoring for the five companies, these are the numbers that I come up with. So what I would do, and again, this is kind of arbitrary, if you know what I mean. So what I would say is, well, look, you know, these two here look like a low-risk kind of customer. These ones here are definitely high risk, and then anything in the middle is medium risk.
I was going to do that because I was saying there's five companies.
Yeah.
And I divide by five and do that, but for your notes, it all has all three companies. So I was saying
yeah.
The notes had high risk, medium, so I divided by
so
three.
So divided by three, and yeah. So now look, will that drop marks? Probably not. Like if you consider these guys here to be high risk and to calculate the formula, you know, because there's a lot of interpretation into this. But the problem is that if you say that this company here, you would not give them credit, then I would have a problem with that because they're the lowest risk. If you said these guys are medium risk, well, there's no basis to say these are medium risk. They're the best we've got. You understand? So, and this guy, so I would give this guy $5,000 and give this guy $100,000. So that would be wrong. Now, if you said, look, I'd give him 100 and I'd only give him 2, or I'd give him 10, or I'd give him 15, or whatever. So there's no sort of wrong answers as such, and you might all get different answers, and you might all get it right. What I'm looking for is there a basis? So if you pick the highest risk customer and give them the highest limit, that's clearly wrong. Whereas if you say, look, I'll give them 15, and you say I'll give them 22, and you say I'll give them 17, that's... You'll all get it right. I don't have a single number on the page that says if you get this number it's right and if you get that number it's wrong. Is that okay? Again, that's arbitrary too. I think obviously I've done hundreds of assignments so I can't remember each one. But I think the lowest one you had is a medium risk if I remember right. So I'm saying it's the lowest. You wouldn't have dropped marks on that.
That's just me commenting because I feel I have to get myself in sort of thing. I just proved I read this and other stuff.
Do you get this? So now, just one thing. Let me go through the scoring models, because some people got confused on the scoring models. So look, in the example you have, there will only be three sets of numbers. So three sets of numbers. So let me just do this. Although I think there might be... Let's see. No, the most you'll have to work with is three. Is that okay? So we have, so say we have company A, company B, and company C, or year A, year B, year C, it doesn't matter. So what we do is, zero is the best, yeah? Two is the worst, and one is the middle. Is that okay? So that's that. Now, just make sure you take that on board. So zero is the best. Now, just keep that in mind. So when we're looking at current ratios, the higher the current ratio is, the better it is. Yeah? So that is your current ratio. The higher your quick ratio is, the better it is, because we like that. Let me look at the other ones. Where are we looking up here? If we're looking at negative things, so if we're looking at costs, well then the higher the costs are, the worse that is. Are you with me? If we're looking at DSOs, the higher the DSOs are, the worse it is. So just make sure that it's not necessarily the highest number. So is this a positive number or a negative number? Is this something we want or something we don't want? If it's something we want, the bigger the better. If it's something we don't want, the lower the better. Okay? Now, the only... Navar, you're going to say something?
And if we are looking at the operating profit.
So the higher the profits are, the better it is. So the more profit we make, the more we like it. Yeah? Being... Good
so if you just put down, you don't see the thing on the map here, if you just put down shrewd, so you gross profit, so the highest percentage is the best.
Yeah.
Operating profit, the highest also.
Yeah.
Operating cost of sales, the highest.
No, the worst.
The lowest, right?
Yeah, the lowest, the better, yeah.
So I learned. Current ratio, highest. Quick ratio,
highest
also.
Yeah.
Stock turnover, the lowest.
Yeah.
Debt reflection rate, the lowest.
Yeah. Now, creditor, let me just qualify that one. This is kind of confusing. And look, whichever way you got it, you got the marks in the assignment. Accountants will tell you the higher the creditor payment period, the better it is. Because you get to hang on to your supplier's money, and that's good for the company. So accountants will always tell you the higher the creditor payment period, the better. I am a credit controller, and so are you. I like people who pay their bills on time. I like people who pay me quickly. So this is probably going against the accountants. So to me, ideally, the lower the creditor payment period is, the better I like it from a credit perspective. Now, if you do it either way, you will get marks. And I did get a splattering of both. I would prefer to see the lower the creditor payments. That means they're paying their suppliers quicker. I like these guys. Is that okay?
And the sales per employee, that'd be higher?
So the higher, yeah, the more productive those lads are, the better it is all round.
And
the proper employee, the higher that is, the better I like it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and what I've done is, just in terms of the comments, for question two, I have put in my comments. Is that okay? So just to give you a flavour of the kind of standard we're expecting. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? And literally, it's only a line or two. Yeah? The other thing that I would say to you is, if you're calculating, and a few people got this, so if you're calculating the figures, right, and some people got like 1.1, 1.1, and 1.1, yeah? So if you find your current ratio is 1.1, 1.1, 1.1, go to another place. Because you'll find this is 1.06, this is 1.09, and this is, you know, 1. You know, whatever. 1.4 or something, you know. So if the answers come out the same, I would go to a second place to decimal. And now we have a clear, you know, best, second best, and worst. Whereas if it all comes out the same, you don't know. Now, if you give them all zeros or give them all, that's okay too, if they are the same. But you're probably better to go to a second place to decimal in that instance. Is that okay? And then that's it. And the great news for you lads is that in the exam, I can't, did I do it in the mock exam? There'll be a couple of questions. This is the mock exam. Right. So sorry, just to go through it, because I know our time is running short. But Paul's not starting until 12, so we'll give it a few more minutes. So let me see. What have we got here? The mock exam. Sorry, let me just go through this again. So, question one is the P&L and balance sheet. Question two is your scoring and your second lines of credit, which is fine. And doing your comments and all that good stuff. Oh yeah, question three. That's a nice little question, just to adjust the balances. The other way they mess around at month end. So yes, that will be a question in the exam. Is that okay?
Question five, can that be a question?
What?
Question five, big one as well.
So let me see, question three, so yeah, so you will be given the just capacity. Question four, we'll just go through question four as well. Question four, sorry, that is a question, Lifo and Pifo.
No.
If you get your head around it, it's simple, but if you don't, forget it. So, yeah, it's on the stock. Yeah, a bad debt provision schedule? Yeah. Yeah, come on, we're credit controllers. That's a given. So you will be given a set of data to do a bad debt provision. Is that okay? And as I say, what I'll do is I'll probably think about it. Question six. Yeah, so question six. Now, that was almost like question two, the way it was filled out. So in fairness to you, in the exam, there will be a similar question six, which is a scoring model. But what we will do is, the difference between question two and question six is, we will actually give you the numbers. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we will give you the numbers. So say gross profit percentage is 36, 42, and 93. And then you put in the zeros, yeah. Ones, and twos.
Yeah, question seven.
Six or seven, I'm not sure.
Did you see the way you have six? And you have the summary of the profit and loss and summary of the balance sheet.
Mm.
And you see question seven then is the one that you actually give the table.
Yeah.
Is question seven and six related? Because
No.
Do you see then what you do in question seven there, where it says assign a appropriate credit line to each and a brief outline?
No, sorry. No. That's more of a question two. There won't be that amount of detail in it. It'll literally be either a table, or and the thing about it is, guys, as well, if you want, and depending on the time which is available to you, that if you have, so say for example, can you see the table down there at the bottom of that page?
Yeah.
So there'll be a table like that on the exam paper. If you want, just rather than transcribing it out, if you're short of time at the end, just write your answers in there and submit that as your answer sheet. Write your name on it, obviously, that we know who gave it to me. Is that okay? So from a time perspective, if you want to just fill out the zeros, ones and twos on that page and hand it up.
Yeah,
but
the
C
part of that question.
There won't be a C part.
There won't be a C part.
There won't be a C part.
Mais c'est dans ces moments-là que je ressens le poids de la stupidité.
It's asking us to do.
Yeah.
If you get a question like that, we're not going to.
Sorry, let me see. You would be asked to score, so a scoring model for each company.
Yeah, so we'd be doing a table like what question 7 is for question 6.
Yes.
Would we get something like that, we will?
On a le choix entre faire cette question ou.
So the Z scoring model, is that what we're, so there will be a question on the Z scoring model, and there will be a question on the scoring. No, look, and make sure, no, you won't have to calculate credit lines for those, no. That's question 2, yes you will in question 2, not in question 6 or 7. Is that okay? So that's fair enough, and then question 8 is the multiple.
Model 2 and 6. Trends.
Are they getting better or are they getting worse? So if you have 3 years, so are they getting better or are they getting worse is what the trend is. So let me just have it here.
Three different companies. Were they?
That was the trend.
So you can only have a trend
for the same company. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, of course.
That's okay,
right.
So, no, that's okay.
Yeah, because this sort of overall risk assessment model is for one company.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, is it getting better or is it getting worse?
No,
you couldn't put three different companies out there because that would make no sense.
How do you see a trend?
Mm.
So, can you start from a similar to assignment 2?
Yes.
Yeah,
except without. All you have to do is 0, 1, 2, and come up with a score.
Yeah.
You know, so 0, 1, 2, there are only three numbers, and give a token. But that's it. And then you say, okay, company A is high risk, B is low risk, C is middle risk. Yeah, and I say if you want to transcribe it onto your form, or you want to fill out the form on the exam paper, that's fine too. Is that okay?
Sorry guys, you just get these here, thanks.
I will show you when you get the solution.
Yeah.
I will show you how I work that thing for question 7. Is that okay? And then you can decide whether you want to use it or not. Anything in risk assessment, it's not written in stone, even though there are right and wrong answers. It is open to interpretation that we want you to, you know, and I suppose parts of this course for you to be clever, to know what's going on and to be able to make you know, good and commercial decisions. That's what it's all about. The multiple choice then as well, the multiple choice is what the multiple choice is. And what I do is, like, again, and some people, and even in short tests, got confused about this. Like, if we look at, is this the mark? Yeah. Like, if you look at question 1, and I know this was one of the short tests that some people got wrong, but I would expect a credit controller to be able to answer this question if they never studied for 5 minutes or did an exam. So, look, the trade debts at the start of the year are that. The sales are that, the bad debts written off and closing debtors are that. So, So you take your opening debtors, you add your sales, you subtract your bad debts, you subtract your debtors at the end of the year, and the difference is how much cash you collected.
See.
Like, so let's not get caught into accounting think. Just common sense will say, look, the ledger is made up of the opening balance plus the sales, less the cash, less the bad debt write-off. That's your closing balance. Yeah? So a lot of the multiple choice are kind of common sense. If a debtor balance totals 868,000, is that it?
Yeah.
If this is equivalent to 60 days, how many days would you have to reduce this by to achieve a net cash inflow of 60? That's a horrible question, isn't it? That is a horrible question. And that's why. So what we're saying is that the debtor balance is 868, and that is equal to 56 days. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So that's fair enough. So how much is one day? So, clear. So 868 divided by 56. So it's 15.5 per day. Yeah? Per day. So, and if you want to
multiply by 4.
So just divide, so I would then divide 62,000 by 15.5. 62,000 divided by 15.5, which will give you 4 days. So I have to reduce that by 4 days.
That's not that. That's not hard. No.
What?
This question is right. Just use the calculator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all of this is just you have to use the calculator. Yeah. So your debtors are 868, and it's equal to 56 days. So divide your 868 by 56 to find out what 1 day is. You get your 15,500, and how many days would you have to reduce this by to achieve a net cash inflow of 62,000? Then you just divide 62,000 by 15.5, and your answer is 4 days. So I'd have to reduce my debtors to 52 to give a cash inflow of 62. Yeah. I hope you noticed, and maybe it's a lesson for me for the future.
Yeah.
In the exam, there are no questions on inflows and outflows. I know that confused a lot of people, and apologies if I did. It's not in the exam, so scrub that out of your heads. Yeah.
You mentioned before about the VAT, right? That you wouldn't include the VAT in the exam. Even in the multiple choice question, wouldn't be...
Oh, yeah.
Would be including VATs or not including
VATs? I'll remove that. I'll take right. That out altogether.
Yes. Yeah.
Question 8. Okay. So the cost of sales. So let's look at this. So what is cost of sales? So cost of sales is your sales, yeah? If your sales, so you have your sales figure, yes? You have your opening stock, cost of sales, you have some very nice week.
Sales opening stock,
which is minus B. Yeah, it's not a nice question. It's not a nice question. Obviously, I know the answer, but. And you have it right. Well done on that. But you see, what I'm trying to be clever here is, so your markup, your formula for markup is gross profit multiplied by 100 divided by sales. Is that right?
Yeah.
So that is your profit for markup. So now if we apply that markup here, so the cost of sales, so if the cost of sales is represented by A minus B, so your sales is equal to A minus B. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Then what is the formula? So the formula is B divided by A minus B multiplied by 100, which is D. It's probably not clear. Let me just check and see.
We have this question in one of the shorter.
Was there?
Yeah. Don't remember in which one.
Number one.
In the first one.
In the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't like that question. What?
MC question 5.
In the multiple choice?
Yeah.
Now, so the debtor control account per the trial balance is 686 and includes VAT. Now, 21.5, that's an old one that I did as well. The balance in provision for bad debts is 9.5. What adjustment is required to create a provision equal to 1.5% of debtors? Okay, so we know that the debtor balance, in the trial balance, the debtor control.
This is where I think VAT plays in the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. If there was no VAT in that question, would it be easier?
Yeah.
What I done was I done 695442 and I took 1.5% off.
Yeah.
And got a figure of 10,431.
Right.
The 9,500 away from that gives you 931. It doesn't match up to any of them.
Is the answer 1019?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you reduce it by 1019. Yeah. Well done.
Reduce it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've 8, and you already have a provision of 9.5 in there. So, is it
C?
Yes, yeah, C is the answer. Yeah. And look, I shouldn't tell you this, but I will. If it gets to 5 to 12 and you have 2 minutes left, take your letter from A to B.
Sorry, can I just go back to something? If the figure is up, if the provision for bad debt is already 9,500 and then it's kind of as 10,431, and even if you take it off, why would we be reducing the provision? Would it not be increasing the provision?
No, because when you
could you just call out the answers for each of those
for the short tests?
Yes,
okay, C. B. B. Sorry, have I done the right one? Is it 63 days? Is that B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 63 days.
I have A.
What?
I have A. Can you work that one out for
the trade debtors in the balance sheet? So, sales for the year in the profit and loss account is. So now, your sales in the profit and loss account will not include VAT. Your sales in your profit and loss account will be your net sales. So on that basis, and your debtors includes the VAT, so your sales for the year, you have to add your VAT onto, and because we're working at 21.5, which is an old VAT rate, that's fair enough. So you add your VAT to your sales on the profit and loss account, divide it by 365, and you come up with a figure of that your daily sales, including VAT, is 4716. Yeah? Your debtors includes your VAT, which is 298,404. And if you divide 298,404 by the 4716, you will get 63 days. Yeah. But again, I think VAT is the thing that's confusing you. And that's not really fair in a credit management exam, so I will.
But especially there, if that's VAT 23 and then you need to work out that's VAT 21%.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no, we'll just get rid of it altogether. So I'll make sure that any of these figures, so the trade budget in the balance sheet is that. So I will make sure that VAT is not a thing to confuse you.
Yeah, can you go send
me
the solution to
the mock exam? I will send you the solution to the
mock exam. Yeah, please.
Yeah. And there you can just go. And look, please ask questions. You know, if you don't understand, and I will get to reply and come back to you. So in the next 2 weeks, getting hung up on multiple choice to me, and hopefully the way we manage our time today, P&L and balance sheets, practice, get that right. Scoring models, working out the ratios, working out your ABC and your credit lines and the logic behind that. And those two questions will get you a merit. Okay? Then you have another question which is based on the scoring model. You have a FIFO and LIFO question. You have a bad debt provision question. And you have, that Z-score thing that you can ignore or not. And then your multiple choice questions. So lads, come on. Are you going to do this? Yeah? So just come relaxed and happy. If you have any questions, any queries, give me a shout. I know we've gone way over time, which I apologise, but hopefully you did find it useful. I'll switch this off now.